you are going to fail. And if you fail faster, you're going to find success faster than anybody else. So you chase failure. You don't stop trying, because the only person that loses is the person that quits.
The future of dentistry belongs to the innovators.
Welcome to Innovation in Dentistry. I'm your host, Sean Zayas, and I believe that the future of dentistry is going to be unbelievably great over the next decade and two decades. But the question isn't that. The question is, are you going to be part of what makes dentistry great?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I could not be more excited today to share with you someone that I just met, but everything I hear about this guy is just amazing. It's bomb. It is a pleasure, Mr. Kirk Reachout, that I get to, teach out. I know. I'm like, this has got to be simple. I'm going to be able to nail this. And then I bomb your last name. I'm so sorry. Amazing to have you here.
Yeah, man. It's great to be here.
Okay, so I'm imagining there's a lot of people like me that are seeing you showing up everywhere. And they're like, okay, well, what is it with this guy? What is this guy's story? And how is it that he got into dentistry? Do you want to just dive off right there?
Sure. Yeah. Man, I love just plunging right in. That's good. So I was part of the music industry for 10, 15 years. I loved music. I toured. And my wife is a dentist. So when she got out of dental school, she associated for a couple of years and then really wanted to be able to pay her student loans back in a timely manner instead of a lot longer as an associate. So she was like, hey, I want to be my own boss. I want to buy a dental practice. I know that's the way I can do it. Will you help me? And I was like, you know, as a loving husband, I'm like, yeah, sure. We have two little ones, but why not? I think we can do it. And with my music background, mainly with the marketing background, the logo work, the website work, all the things that you have to learn as a musician and artist, it equipped me to be able to help her with her practice and also running businesses in general. So now I'm thrown into the fire in dentistry, and it was definitely not my plan, but I'm so glad for it. And now I'm trying to pioneer and innovate in this industry and push limiting beliefs, which is so fun.
Okay, so you say the music industry. So you were an artist.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was an artist. I'd have guitars right behind me at all times.
So gifted fingers, or are you also a vocal talent?
Backup vocalist. I do lead singing at church, though. You know.
Hey, that counts. Wow, what you've been gifted with a lot of things, Kirk. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been fun, but you know, it's a long game. It's a journey, right? I wasn't gifted this way very quickly. It was a long journey. It just kind of added on, and you master something, you move on, you master something, and you move on. I know that's one of the biggest questions I get is like, how do you do so many things? I'm like, it's over a long period of time and patience.
And you must have not just a curiosity, but like a love for learning.
Oh, yeah. Easily. I absolutely love learning, to where I honestly don't listen to as much music as I would love to, because I love reading books and listening to books and podcasts and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, okay. So you mentioned something about logo design and how you had to learn quite a bit of the marketing side of things just as an artist. I understand the whole like, hey, I'm an independent artist or whatever, and I need to, you know, I need to learn more about business and marketing, but I still don't understand why it was like maybe an obvious to land on design, because some people just focus on sales or the mechanics of marketing, you know, like some of the funnels or some of the software or just the best practices with autoresponders. Like, why design? Because I stumbled on a design early on and I loved it. Was that part of the artist in you that's like had an appreciation for the aesthetic beauty as well?
Yeah. So I look at back at my earlier work and I'm like cringing all the time. Like, man, it was so terrible. But yeah, I mean, it's the creative in me, I feel like, to always want to put my best foot forward, because
you can judge a book by its cover every single time. And as somebody who has written books and has understood that, trying to understand the psychology behind people looking at things is just fascinating to me. And I'm like, okay, it's got to be like a blue for feeling trust, and just different fonts that don't have the little tags at the end, and just friendly things like that. I have a passion for figuring out different things like that.
Okay. So you just dropped another little, you know, an author. Okay. Let's just go big for a moment. tell me about what is it you're doing that's audacious in dentistry that is like missional, like that has to do with either that's transformative or that you're going after. Like what mission are you on in dentistry?
I want to be able to push limiting beliefs and societal constructs of dentistry that you have to capture every patient at all times, no matter what, because we're here to only serve patients. So my wife and I have built a practice where we only work 3 days a week and have a 7-figure practice and can outpace most doctors and their practice working 4 or 5 days a week with even bigger teams. So I want to be able to push these limiting beliefs that these doctors have that, oh, no, we need to be able to work with even the difficult patients to be able to capture enough revenue, to be able to do this, do that. And I just can't do that. I can't buy that into that. Because when me and my wife sat down, we figured out what we wanted and how we could do it. Like, we're trying to build a practice around our lifestyle of having 4 kids and not our lifestyle being dictated by our business. So I want to be able to create that for all of these doctors out here that I talk to on Instagram on a regular basis. They're like, I'm already feeling burnout. I have doctors on a constant basis saying, if I knew dentistry was this way, I would have never gone. But now they're $500,000 in debt and they don't feel like they have a way out of that. So I'm trying to bring the love back into dentistry and business ownership, mainly through the avenue of the 7-figure Dentist Academy, to be able to educate people on the business side and make it easier for them.
Dude, by proxy, I feel like I almost burn out, not even being a dentist, just because of beholding the challenge that dentistry is. And I understand why, like a decade and a half ago, I feel like it was more like the gentleman's club where like all the male dentists were just like, oh, I'm doing great, crushing it, living my best life. And I could understand the pressure for them to have to fake it because there was such a expectation that if you were a dentist, that you were crushing it and that you were living your best life. And no one wanted to talk about all the challenges of managing a team, leading a team, dealing with difficult patients, like just managing a small business. Like, I know the ins and outs and struggles of a small business, and I'm not a clinician. Like, the world is happy. I'm not a dentist. Okay. So I love what you're doing because it just needs to be talked about. I'm so curious, like, how do you and your wife stumble into figuring out, we know how to create 7-figure revenue in a company while doing it on our terms? I mean, that sounds like the dream. Like, that sounds like if I could have some of my dental friends wave their magic wand, that's what they want. They want the financial freedom. But financial freedom doesn't help if you don't have time freedom.
Right.
And right. To be able to get both, and here you guys are like, you know what, like, we care about family and we want to have fulfillment in our lives, getting to be there for the ones we love. Man, I'm just a fan. So to just walk me through early on, how do you start making these crazy moves with your wife's practice?
Sure. That's a great question. And I go through this a lot, but you know, during tragedy, a lot of people either thrive or they die. And during COVID, we shut down for 2 months, as a lot of people did, for shorter, longer periods of time in different states. and in different areas of the world. But during that time, for 2 months, that was 6 months after we bought the practice. Yeah. So six
great
months.
Great start.
You know, I mean,
who wouldn't want that?
Right. And we'd never owned a business like this before. So it was just like almost petrifying. Yeah. But it wasn't. Like, my wife loved every second of that shutdown. She wanted to be home with the kids. She loved being out, going on walks with them during the day, because it was early spring. So it was like, oh, okay, great weather, maybe some rain sometimes, but they would go on walks while I was trying to just, you know, figure out what we were doing and what the next steps are. So during that 2 months, it was a blessing in disguise, because, you know, as a business owner, there's all these things that you know you need to do, but you never make the time for it because you don't have the time to sit down and actually figure out a way to implement it, right? And so what we did there in those 2 months was every night just look at, okay, what do we actually want from this practice? Like, in an ideal world, money's no object, what do we want? And then we figured out from that clarity how to do it. So we reached out to other doctors who had, you know, been able to pay off their student loans in their first year of practice ownership. We reached out to a couple other people who have been working 3.5 days a week or 3 days a week. I'm like, how do you do it? And they're like, this, this, and this. I'm like, okay, great. So this is how we can do it. Let's get in. Let's build the systems. Because as James Clear says in Atomic Habits, we don't rise to our goals, but we fall to our systems. So it's all about the systems. And I guarantee the majority of the dentists out there that are working 4 or 5 days a week, they think their schedule's full, but if you cut out a day, you would figure out a way to do the exact same thing in less days. So it's counterintuitive on being able to cut back and scale back, but yet make more. But due to Parkinson's law, you're allotting the time that's given. So you fill that time, just like, you know, in college when you had a paper due, you waited till the last night to do it. And somehow,
wait, how did you know that about me?
I'm the same way. Okay. I would be at IHOP at 3 a.m. doing my paper and drinking coffee and eating pancakes. And yet somehow I still got a passing grade, even though I had 4 months to do it. So that's Parkinson's law, is that we fill the time that's allotted. And so, you know, from a dental perspective, when you look at the schedule, if, for instance, it snows on Monday and you're there Tuesday through Thursday, you figure out a way to get all those patients throughout the rest of the week if you can. And when you break down the numbers, it's a very small amount you've got to add back in. So we were just like, well, if we had to do it, let's just feel like we have to do it. So we came back after COVID at 3.5 days a week, and we asked the team. So team culture is super, super important, especially in our organization. We asked them, like, hey, if we did this, we're not going to increase your pay. We're cutting your hours. Would you be okay with that? And they're like, yeah, let's try it. Let's see what we can do. Like, okay, cool. And we implemented a bonus system to where they could make up the difference and then some. But when we did, the culture increased dramatically. The energy of the office increased dramatically. The patient base increased dramatically. And we saw a huge jump in our collections. We're like, okay, that's cool. And then the next year, when my wife went on maternity leave, we had a doctor that had never been able to do $6,000 a day in her own practice with hygiene come into our practice on just 3 days a week and do $15,000 days every day she was there. So we were like, okay, at this point, I'm just thinking, my wheels are turning. I'm like, I've got something here. Something is working. And she asked me, like, hey, can you send me all these processes and systems that you have? And I'm like, sure, here. And now her practice is thriving. So I'm like, okay, I've got something. Can I replicate this? And I had all these doctors reach out when I, especially when I tell them at these conferences, like, yeah, you only work 3 days a week and you're doing seven figures. Like, yeah. She's like, how are you doing it? I'm like, okay, cool. So clearly people want that. They want the time freedom, but they don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And it's a limiting belief to think that you could make more and work less.
Yeah, I'm sure you get so much people who just lean in and they're like, so, like, they're looking for the catch. They're probably looking for the, oh, okay, this sounds a little too good to be true.
Like, and I get those questions.
Talk about the courage it took for you guys to actually just go for it. Like, people just do things a certain way and they just get the same result. And to actually try and pioneer positive disruption, it takes courage because it's new. It's uncharted. There's some insecurity in what if I fall flat on my face? And you guys didn't do that. Instead, you ended up proving out a system that is what dentistry needs. And I'm guessing that's what gave birth to Seven Figure Academy? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, the Seven Figure Dentist Academy. Yeah.
Kirk, this is just like, man, I'm shocked at almost the simplicity at which you share how you guys discovered this. You know, when I take like a 1,000-foot view on dentistry, I remember always looking like, why is it that at a time when culturally everything was moving toward boutique and bespoke, that like, you know, coffee shops were going away from the Starbucks and it was much more the independents. Why is it that DSOs started growing and coming? So it's like dentistry went corporate when the whole world was going like anti-corporate. And I was like, what was it about that? And sure enough, the big open door that left the dentists, like, you know, solo docs and GPs left was the fact that they didn't know anything about systems and processes. Yeah. They knew how to offer the heart of care, but they didn't actually know how to consistently replicate it. So all of a sudden DSOs are like, dang, all we have to do is bring some high-level Fortune 500 systems and processes, and we can make a killing in dentistry. But come to find out, but patients actually want the heart.
Yeah,
they totally do.
That heart. And
wow.
I
you guys figured out how to get both, how to keep the sanity of the dentist so they don't go insane.
Right.
And yet at the same exact time deliver first-rate service through high-level processes.
Right. And create the ideal patient experience with the ideal patient. It's like I talk about this all the time. It's like, I mean, I fire patients on a regular basis. And you have to, because you're there. It's your business. It's like, why are you putting up with somebody you don't want to see? It's like, obviously there's a legal and ethical way to do that. And I walk my clients through that, but I had 3 hard conversations, even this past Tuesday, 2 of them apologized and 1 of them left, but I'm going to fight for my team and defend them from the patients. I mean, it just makes sense because it creates the team culture that you want and it garners respect for you as a leader. But then it also creates the patient culture that you want when you just say, look, I have a high standard of care for you. I train my team to a certain level and they're going to perform at that level. Otherwise, I will fire them for you. But in turn, I require respect for our team. And you can't disrespect them and expect to get the same treatment.
Man, that is so empowering. Just from a leadership perspective, like, I can imagine the second your team members know you have their back like that, A, it puts them on the line to deliver exceptional service and care because they know the same level of scrutiny in which you're going to defend them. You're also going to defend the patient if the team drops the ball. I love that. So where did you learn leadership like that?
Books and podcasts and constant learning. Right. I would argue that, and I've bought this book for, I got to look at my Amazon, but at least 100 people, by The Go-Giver. It is the number one book that has changed my life. and has really changed the course and mindset of how I approach business in general.
Okay, so 30-second pitch, high level.
Yeah, so it's about servant leadership, but it's in a parable form, and he talks about the 5 stratospheric traits of success. And it goes through this very cool character who's a go-getter, but he's never hitting his goals. He's always trying to chase after the next thing. And he has a mentor called Pindar that takes him through. He's like, look, I will show you all these steps, and tries to change his mindset to be a go-giver. And through generosity, everything else comes back to him. And so we have this same mindset towards our team and our patients and my business and fourth quarter coaching and the 7-figure dentist academy and everything. Is like that servant leadership. We are serving our team and our patients, not being a dictator and telling them what to do. Now there's a dichotomy there, right? Like there are things that like are hard pressed rules, but at the same time, I'm still serving my patients and my team. And in turn, they look to me for that guidance and respect.
I'm getting an education here. So Kirk, you've been now in dentistry, you said 6 months. I was gonna say 6 months before the pandemic.
Yeah.
What surprised you about dentistry that maybe you weren't expecting?
Oh gosh, everything. I didn't know anything about dentistry. I mean, I could still, you know, I think back and I think about the mistakes we've made, obviously. I think the thing that surprised me the most is how isolating it is. Which is another thing I'm trying to change. I know this year we're trying to, last year we worked on the ideal patient, like what the ideal patient looks like, who they are, and how we can serve them. And this year our goal is to serve the community as a team. And so we're looking for ways to do that. And I want to put together a free dental day and even get all the dentists, other dentists in town to help with that and work together. Instead of being like, oh, we don't work together because we're all dentists. I'm like, there's enough patients. Nobody needs them. Like, we all can't get people in because we're so busy. And so we want to work together and bring people together in an industry that is normally isolating. I want to be able to do retreats like your buddy, to be able to do retreats with doctors and show them that really cool piece that I always see when I go with my wife to CE, where, you know, everybody's focused on the same thing at CE during class. But then at night, something special happens when everybody goes to dinner and they just start getting the best gold nuggets about each other's practices. And they go through the heartache and the toughness of their teams and the drama and all the things is like, that's where the magic happens. So I want to be able to recreate that throughout a whole weekend in a much more intimate setting and be able to do that just yearly, every single year, multiple times a year, to showcase how it's really, it's because of the doctors themselves that it's so isolating, not because it doesn't have to be.
So what would you need for that dream to come true? What support are you still needing?
I mean, really just docs. I mean, the ability to be able to get these limiting beliefs out of their minds, to be able to get the message across that it doesn't have to be that way and that there is a solution, to be able to really thrive in dentistry and enjoy it on your own terms versus what you may feel like is the patient's terms.
But I mean, you don't need a lot of docs. We're talking about a retreat here, right?
Yes and no. You know, obviously it takes word getting out. It takes time to be able to put all that together. But you know, I remember how, you know, my first company, it started small. It was just me. I was a solopreneur.
Woo.
And when I read The Go-Giver, I changed my mindset for how much more can I make this year? How can I get more? How can I do more? How can I make more? To how can I get other people full time in what they love to do with what I need? Which is the whole premise of that book. How can you be a solution giver? And so I did that in the music industry, which is why, or one of the reasons why things like Cocomelon are on Netflix. So I created a nursery rhyme business on YouTube that just blew up, and I built the infrastructure for it. And I knew it took time. It took about a good 6 months to a year to get that going. So I just started in August with this message.
I don't think that's a long time. That's amazing.
Well, yes, but no, you know, it's relative. But I want to be able to do this because there's so many of these baby boomers that are selling their practices to DSOs. And I want to create and really preserve private practice and not just say that. Like, so many management companies, consultants and stuff, they are like, we want to preserve private practice. Like, yes, but you're bringing in corporate systems that still feel like corporate systems. So like, my systems are creating obviously those systems that corporate has, but creating the culture to where it doesn't feel like corporate. It still feels like family and a solid team, which is much different.
Yeah, I mean, if I think that's the best of dentistry, is you give the agency and autonomy and empower the dentist to be able to still bring who they are into the practice, but you offer the support and the systems so that they get that DSO level organization. It's like a first-rate organization, but it still keeps, I don't know, the freedom of expression that leads to that sort of fulfillment, so that they're not just an employee working in a mill. You know, I think that's when dentistry wins, because that's when patients win. When dentists are fully alive, expressing what they love about dentistry, being able to show up with work or to work with fulfillment and with passion, instead of on the verge of burnout all the time and just thinking about the next vacation or how they can somehow escape. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of dentistry is. And nobody wins in those situations.
No, it's a no win. And I want to change that by simple education, that it doesn't have to be that way. That you can truly create a dream practice without building a $5 million facility that has a team of 40 people. You just don't.
Kirk, I think we just need to do a retreat together. I can get the dentist going. I can get the dentist showing up. So we just need to team up. I've been wanting to do an event forever, and people are like, how come you don't? And I just haven't circled a date and just made it happen.
Yeah, we need to circle a date.
Yeah, because dentistry needs what you have. I want to bring a cup of cold water to dentistry too, and just help them, whether it's on the branding side or on more on the marketing side or more on the fulfillment side through what I do with The Authentic Dentist. I mean, there's not enough people out there liberating dentists. Dentistry is huge, and there's just still way too many casualties. So right now, if people are listening, where can they even find out about the Seven-Figure Dentist?
Sure. So obviously you can go on the sevenfiguredentist.com. I don't know how I got that URL, but I did.
But you're you branding spell seven... genius. Branding yeah, genius.
You got to spell seven out though. So thesevenfiguredentist.com. And there's a seven-step guide there that kind of goes through just a few things that we found really core items that allowed us to do what we do on 3 days a week. But also on Instagram, man, at Kirk Teach Out, my fingers are burning every day, just talking to hundreds of doctors a day and trying to give them advice. I'm seeing this, just so many things that they're telling me of, like, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm seeing. And I'm trying, I wish I could just wave a magic wand and be like, here's everything you need. So I'm like constantly building, constantly doing more things to try to provide solutions. And that's really like, even from our team's perspective, you know, we don't take Medicaid insurance, but our front desk always provides a solution instead of discounting those patients. So that's kind of the mantra that goes, like, we're always providing solutions, even if it doesn't monetarily, you know, help us, because at the end of the day, it's just good to be a good human, right? And it always comes back. Yeah. It's always good. And, you know, if you can change that mindset to be solution oriented, then it's so good. And very fulfilling too. I feel like that's where a lot of doctors are losing in this game, is that they're looking for fulfillment and they're not getting it from their patients, because they're always in pain. They quote unquote don't like the dentist or hate the dentist. And so what we try to do is change that narrative while they're in the chair. And so while people leave, like, they may come in and say, oh man, I wish I wasn't here. Okay, well, that's a challenge for us. How can we, through this patient experience, change that outlook and re-educate this patient on how it's good and fun to come back to the dentist? And by the time that they leave, 9 times out of 10, we ask them at the end of the day, how was your experience? So they have to think about it. And they tell us, oh, it was great. Barely even hurt. I'm like, great. So you're excited to come back, right? And it may take 2 or 3 visits, but we win them over every single time, or we don't, and they leave.
My mind is just blown, because I've been on this campaign for 2 years to say, hey, look, dentist, I want to help you own the high ground, which is creating remarkable patient experiences. And I think so many people focus on how do you, like, the remarkable part, but it's like, it's the experience part. What is a patient experiencing? And at the core of practice, if it's not about humans and what they're experiencing and us being able to make that beautiful and favorable and good, like, dentistry, it's got a bad reputation with anxiety and what people don't understand for a reason. You know, not everyone wakes up, it's like, hey, I can't wait to go see the dentist today.
Right.
And to acknowledge that and overcome that with just, I don't know, with intentionality, you guys are crushing it. Like, it's what I feel like should be common sense isn't. And the fact that you guys approach it with such a common sense, human centric approach, it's refreshing. Like, so how is it that I can support you more in what it is that you're doing?
Man, let's do that event. I think that would be fun. You know, whether it's online or even a live event, I think that would be so cool and so good and so fulfilling and valuable to the industry in general, because, I mean, that's the goal, right? Is to innovate. That's the whole purpose of this podcast. So how can we innovate in general, and not just for dentists, but like anybody in general? So we just had our 4th child in November. And we were in, you know, medical practices all the time. And every time I go into those places, I'm just like, can I please talk to the owner, and can I fire half of your staff? Because they're truly staff. They are infectious in your office. They're not a team. They don't want to be there. They feel like you're inconveniencing them all the time. But I want to find you people that it makes sense, that they're a good fit, that you pour into them and create that culture to where everybody has that great experience. And a lot of people, like you were saying, like, what's the catch? Like, oh man, you guys are in a great area. Oh yeah, you're working 14-hour days those 3 days. Like, no, we work 8:30 to 4:30 with an hour lunch. We are in a rural area. So when I make a job posting, I get all sorts of applications that are not in dentistry. Everything is against me. And they're like, oh yeah, you're doing full mouth rehabs, you're doing a ton of implants. No, I'm doing bread and butter dentistry, crowns, fillings, and extractions, partials, no dentures in a rural area. And we are still outpacing most people.
Oh my gosh. Like, do you guys have a free report or something downloadable or some resources that dentists can get a hold of just to kind of get their feet wet? Or is the best thing just to reach out to you?
And honestly, so I have that guide, obviously, but yeah, but you can you can book a call with me on there. And yeah, I just talk to people, man. That's part of it. I love just talking to people. I know I have a really great call with Dental Intel, who we use for our analytics soon. And we're going to be discussing how, like, yeah, you're in the top 10% of all of our clients on all of these levels. Like, how are you guys doing that? So I can't wait for that, because, you know, my wife doesn't like showing numbers. So she gets on to me when I show numbers, but it because she feels like it's bragging. But I'm like, babe, no, it's not bragging. People don't know what they don't know.
They don't know.
And so someone
needs to just show them a better way.
Right. Right. And it's like, look, you can do seven figures easily with a small team, a small patient base. Like, we only have 1,500 active patients. And they're like, oh, yeah, you have 3,000 active patients. You're running high. I'm like, no. You just have to be good.
So have you written the book on this yet?
No, I'm in the process of it. I'm in the process of creating the course. I'm in the process of doing events. But I've only started. Like, I am so pumped. I love the startup phase, because I get to do stuff like this with you and talk about it. And I get to talk with people, like, what are the actual problems that people are having, and how can I provide that solution? And so I'm seeing all of it from just right now. And it's so cool.
Oh, so did you always know you were an entrepreneur? Like, is this something that you're just like, look, you know, as a kid, or I saw my parents, and, you know, early on, I just knew that this is the way my brain worked. Like, when did that discovery in your identity be like, okay, Kirk, like, you're an entrepreneur, this is who I am, and I'm just going to own it?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's been within the last probably 6 years or so. I've always been a big dreamer in general. So big dreamer. My wife brings me out of the clouds all the time, because I just am constantly in the clouds. Like, there's so many ideas I have. I just want to do so much. But, you know, even my parents, you know, single mom, three kids, growing up in my life, you know, I saw what I didn't want. And I saw that I didn't have really a leader to kind of pinpoint that for me. And so I would always latch on, and I just happened to latch on to that one person that just came into my life right at the right time, that gave me a chance to show me what it looked like to really be a business owner. And I followed him, and I just, like, reached up and went up into the organization to just watch. And one of the first mentors in that, he's been passive income, millions of dollars a year for a long time. And the first time I talked to him, he said, Kirk, you're going to fail. I was like, hi, it's nice to meet you. Right. I was like, but he leaned in and he said, fail faster. And at the time, like, once again, I was like, I just met you. Like, I have no clue what you're telling me right now. And I, like I said, I came from a $13 an hour max job mentality to that. And I was like, how can I do that? Like, what does that look like? And he said, Kirk, you are going to fail. And if you fail faster, you're going to find success faster than anybody else. So you chase failure. You don't stop trying, because the only person that loses is the person that quits. And I was like, okay, so how can I do this? And then I just started going down the path of music industry, and it's a business in and of itself. And so learning little things when it's low risk and you're having to create raving fans, man, if I can learn how to create raving fans in the music industry, and as cutthroat as that is, in a very subjective piece of art that only I love and nobody else does, then imagine if I can get into an industry that is 100% needed, everybody knows they need it, and all I have to do is create raving fans. It is so easy. So easy.
I just love that you talked about mentorship, and here a mentor shows up and in one conversation has the ability to change your life. And now, because of your generosity, you're being a mentor to so many in dentistry who need that one conversation of, hey, you can do dentistry on your terms. You don't have to sacrifice your family. You don't have to sacrifice making an income you can be proud of. And you can be a seven-figure dentist and have more time than you've ever dreamed was possible, also pursuing the things that bring lasting fulfillment. And that's why I'm such a fan of you and your methodology and the positive disruption you're bringing in dentistry, because it strips away the fluff and gets straight to the heart of what every dentist I know cares about and is often, unfortunately, it's elusive to them. That they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure out how to provide for their family. They're trying to figure out how to pay off their debt. They're trying to figure out how to be a better leader. They're trying to figure out how to create more consistent outcomes in the patients they're serving. And all of it together just becomes this really challenging thing that they don't have enough time for, enough energy for. And here you unlock something, you and your wife, and you're not hiding it behind lock and key where it's like no one can have it. You're like, hey, you want it? Come get it. Like, I have it. And there's just such a generosity of spirit that you have, Kirk, that just makes your message even that much more attractive. Like, I just wish you nothing but the best. And I can tell you're already having so much success, but like, this is just the beginning. That is so cool.
Yeah, it is. And you know, because my wife was the same way when we first started. I think it took us about 2 years to hire a coach because, you know, as doctors, there's a lot of ego and pride involved in getting to that level. Mm. And so when you get out, like you have something to prove almost, I feel like. And then there's the ego of like, oh, if I'm hiring somebody else to help me, then, you know, one, I'm taking on more risk than just the practice itself of it working. But two, the pride of like, I didn't get to do it on my own. But man, pride comes before the fall. Every time. And since you don't know what you don't know, that coach and mentor can help accelerate your success and stop having you throw just whatever you can at the wall, seeing what sticks. It's like, don't reinvent the wheel. It's like, it's not cookie cutter, it's custom, but like to be able to say, look, here are the things that work in multiple, you know, avenues. So why don't you do it? And I think that's where I'm a little bit more unique than most coaches and consultants and mentors in the dental field, is that I come from a completely different industry. I've never been in the dental field. So I don't have all this like bias and conventional wisdom from a field that has not really changed. And so now I'm trying to pull resources from other industries into the dental field to revolutionize it and allow these female doctors, especially as my wife is a female doctor, because there's more female doctors graduating now than male doctors. And guess what? They're going to want families. Mm. And guess what? They're going to want a business, but they want to do it on their terms. So to be able to give them that, where they can have a family and to be able to have a decent income, to be able to spend time with their family and do things with them, that's the dream.
No, like 1,000%. Okay, so I don't know if you know it's coming, but this is the... the question, I haven't changed it, I guess, in like 6 months, but okay, so you're walking down the street. Okay. Well, so you're walking down the street and off in the distance, you see 18-year-old Kirk. Mm. And the idea is you just have a moment to be able to communicate one brief sentiment to him. What do you share?
Oh, man. You know, it always seems, especially with stuff like this, that, you know, the guests and the innovators and that everything is good. Everything's perfect.
But I would tell him, you're not alone. You're not alone. I had a great conversation with a buddy of mine yesterday. And he's also in the dental field. Dr. Avi Patel. Great man.
Great guy.
And he's crushing it. And I had a great conversation with him yesterday about just our struggles. And, you know, I was telling my wife, and he texted me today, he was telling his wife the same thing, that it's so nice to have somebody who is trying to innovate, people like you too, that understand what you're going through. It's not isolating, you know, and knowing that, and knowing that I'm trying to do the same thing for these doctors, right? It's not isolating. There are people out there. There are great people out there. You just have to find them, and you have to put yourself out there. I think that's probably the biggest hurdle that a lot of these doctors have. And, you know, and with the social media move and influencers and everything, is just like, look, it shouldn't be isolating, and it's not. You just have to find the people to help you and just be open to just pour your heart out to anybody.
Honestly, Kirk, that's like the biggest mistake I made the first decade in dentistry. Was I was working for my dad's supply company, and we did a lot of like sales activities and went to shows, but I didn't actually start meeting the people of dentistry. Like, no strings attached, not because I'm trying to sell something, actually just meet dentists and meet the vendors and meet some of the influencers and just show up real and just talk to them and find out what it is that they were going through. And I realized like the community is powerful when people just show up who they are with no pretense, no arrogance, no ego. And it's like, yeah, I just want to make dentistry better. And it's like, that's what Avi's doing. That's what you're doing. And I have so much respect for anybody that's willing to get in the game, that's willing to go off the beaten path into uncharted territory and just say, why not me? Why not now? Why not bet on myself? I see a problem and I can be the solution, and I can make dentistry better. And together we can all make I love dentistry, but we can all just make it better.
Yeah.
And nobody wins when we play it safe. And that's why I've always thought of this visual where I could look to the left and the right and I just see like we're all in rank, and yet there's still vacancies from people that are still playing it safe. They're not showing up. I haven't met them yet at an event. And because I haven't met them, I don't know how their light, I don't know how their passion, I don't know how their perspective can maybe unlock something where I'm stuck. Yeah. Like, could you imagine if we did a mastermind, me, you, Avi? Sorry, I shouldn't be saying this on the air. But I was saying, like, man, that I get so much life in hanging out with innovators and hanging out with influencers, because I love the way you think. I love the way you approach failure. I love that the wisdom of failing forward, because I know how lonely it is when you're on the sideline. And I know what it's like to just keep wrestling with the voices of inadequacy that say, you're not ready yet, or now's not the right time, or someone else is more prepared, but you're not. And it's like, those are just lies. Like, anyone that's hearing that between the lines of what me and you are saying right now, Kirk, it's like, this is your time to step up, to step out with boldness, to bet on yourself. That's what Kirk and I are saying. Like, this is your time. Shine. And that's what I love that you're doing, and you're not making any excuses. Like, I want you to show up in the brilliance of what makes you just glorious, and that's exactly what you're doing, Kirk. Like, you're just shining and bringing the solution that only you have to dentistry, and you're getting rewarded for it. Like, what way to go. It has been so easy to honor you as an innovator. I'm so thankful that I think Cammy is the one that I don't know how you guys got connected, but she's like, Sean, you need to check out this guy, Kirk. And I was like, okay, who? Because I think I know a lot of people. So when I don't know someone, I'm like, really? And researching you was a blast. Getting to connect with you the first time was a blast because just the way that your DNA is. You are inspiring and you're burning bright. And again, this is just the beginning. So thank you. Thank you so much for letting me interview you today.
Man, thank you for having me on. I don't know how I can follow that. Oh, man. Making me cry.
Well, we're going to do the event together. So my audience, stay tuned. It's going to happen. And you guys got to hear it. This is when it started. Just live on Innovation and Dentistry. Although I'm rebranding. So you'll find out about that. But anyway, I can never help you, Kirk. I am so in your corner. So thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to follow so you never miss an episode. To learn more about what's going on in dentistry, check out innovationindentistry.com.